As we come to you as your children, we think of words of Jesus speaking of you as mother hen, and this prayer written centuries ago that speaks of that. Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Jesus, like a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. Often you weep over our sins and our pride. Tenderly you draw us from hatred and judgment. You comfort us in sorrow and bind up our wounds. In sickness you nurse us, and with pure milk you feed us. Jesus, by your dying, we are born to new life. By your anguish and labour, we come forth in joy. Despair turns to hope through your sweet goodness. Through your gentleness, we find comfort in fear. Your warmth gives life to the dead. Your touch makes sinners righteous. Lord Jesus, in your mercy heal us. In your love and tenderness, remake us. In your compassion, bring grace and forgiveness. For the beauty of heaven, may your love prepare us. Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we remain standing as we sing, Hear the Call of the Kingdom, which we've sung once before. So let's give it a go and see how we remember it. The kingdom, lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came in Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Sit down. So just a few notices. I know that when you go in the back hall, you won't be able to miss them. Adrian's done a wonderful job of sprucing up the notice boards in the rear hall. Anything that was on them and is no longer on them has been removed and is now on a table at the back of the church hall between the doors that lead to the vestry and the cupboard. Vestry and the creche. If there is something on those boards you wanted to save, today is your day. Do it today, Oh, it's going in the bin, okay? You know, I'm very sorry, but we're trying to make it look really kind of colourful, and there's a board for most of the children's groups and things like that. So please, if you want some space on the notice board, come and have a word as well, and we'll sort something out for you. It's not an issue, but we just wanted to make them look really nice and colourful. You can see lots of stuff that's going on here. We've done Mother's Day for the moment. Yes, we know all about that, and here comes some dates. This is the important one. This Wednesday is the members' meeting, a chance for us as a church to get together, work out what God's saying to us. There'll be election of new officers, and the most important thing, is to say that actually Noreen is standing again for treasurer and as deacon, so we need to appoint her to that role if God so directs us to be willing to do so. We have had. No, by the deadline, we had no further nominations for anybody to be on the diaconate. As far as the current leadership is concerned, that's not a problem. We did receive, after the deadline, a nomination from somebody who is willing to stand. Actually, it's John Porch. I can say who it is. It's not a secret. From John Porch, who is willing to stand. But we've had a discussion, and we feel that because it came after the deadline, and it came quite a long time after the deadline, we haven't been able to share that information with you in enough time for you to go away, process, work out what you think God might be saying about that. We're going to talk about a way forward at the AGM for how we might bring John onto the leadership team in good time without having to wait for the next AGM, but also without rushing it and getting it all done this Wednesday. So come and be a part of that conversation as well. That'd be lovely. Thank you. Easter at Godstone Baptist Church. So these are the services that are happening. Maundy Thursday, that's the Thursday before Good Friday, we'll be having a communion service in the evening here at 8 p.m. Good Friday, I'll be leading a reflective service here. It will take some form of reflections around the cross. There may also be communion in that. The other possibilities, there may be a labyrinth as well. If you're interested by some of the talk that I've shared about prayer labyrinths, I might be setting one of those up if timing and other commitments permit. David has a notice about Good Sunday. Easter Sunday. It will be a very good Sunday, though, won't it?
So, hi, everybody. So, Easter Sunday, that's a Sunday when we hope lots of people from the village who don't normally come in. And we had a missions committee meeting this week, and we decided this year we're really going to try and get as many people from the village as possible to come in. So there's an invite like this is currently on its way to Phil's house from the printers. As you can see, we've put a few incentives in there for people from the village to come along. So there's coffee and donuts before the service, and then a particular hook, we're going to give an Easter egg to each child who comes. Okay, so there's a few incentives to perhaps encourage people to come along. Nothing wrong with incentives. I started coming to the church because there were lots of pretty girls in the youth group in 1984, so right. Nothing wrong with it, giving people incentives to get them through the door. And so that's very much the plan. We're hoping to really pack the church. If it's too successful, then we're going to ask some of you to move to the Coombs house to meet in their front room for a little service. But you know, that would be fantastic if we actually run out of chairs, won't it? But anyway, so what we have is 1,000 leaflets like that heading to Phil's house. And I volunteered to help arrange getting those 1,000 leaflets through various front doors in the village. A few of the missions teams volunteered their husbands and wives to help. So Adrienne said that Anthony will drop some off when he's doing his running. Phil has said that Claudia will put some through the doors when she's doing the paper round with one of the children. But that's still not going to be sufficient. So this is prior warning. They haven't arrived yet, but I'm starting to plan how to get 1,000 leaflets through, I believe, 991 doors, according to my internet research yesterday. So I've tried to plan it all out. But if we just cover all the streets, we've got 991 houses to get a leaflet through the door. If you're prepared to help, can you just mention it to me? So if you're prepared to do your street, that'd be fantastic, and I'll write you down and take that street off the list. If you're prepared to come and meet with a few of us here on either a Saturday or before or after a service or something and do half an hour of leaflet pasting through doors, again, if you let me know, I'll try and plan around that. So if you can grab me afterwards, say you'd love to be a bit of a postman in the next, and it'll probably be in about 2 weeks' time, and we'll do it in the week before because people have a short memory. So maybe the weekend before, something around Easter time. So if you can help out with that, please let me know. Thank you.
Came and supported the family yesterday for the service for Robert's memorial. All those who came thought it was a really good good day. We all enjoyed the service, and special thanks to those who prepared the food and the flowers, you know, everything. Thanks very much, and we really appreciate it.
It was a great service yesterday that really spoke more powerfully, I think, possibly than any other memorial or Thanksgiving service I've ever been to, about the hope that we have in Jesus' resurrection. So thank you. It was a great privilege to be part of. Also, there's a retreat day coming up. I'll talk a bit more about that in the sermon, actually. So we'll skip on past that. Alpha's starting Wednesday, 6th of May. Have a think. Anybody you know who might be interested in the Christian faith or just asking big questions? Anybody who wants to know more about what it means to be a Christian? Anybody who might just be wondering any of those answers to those questions? Contact Phil. And we'll be talking a bit more about Big Church Day Out, which is the 23rd and 24th of May, and hopefully showing that video at the end of the service, as I said. And this is the one that we want you all to come to. We're having a Sunday away together. There'll be no service here. We're hoping to go away to Otford Manor. That's great. Okay, thank you. I have a short video to play just as part of it, really as our children's talk. This is the passage of the Bible that I'm going to be speaking on today, and it's the story of Jesus in the wilderness. If you were here when I led a prayer service on this at the beginning of Lent, I'm using the same video, but I've spent some time making it a bit better. If you know the story of Jesus in the wilderness, great. If you don't know it, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, you might want to have your finger in it, and you can follow. It's like a series of 40 pictures that are going to be on here with some music that I've chosen to go with it. There's no words, it's just pictures. You might want to have your finger in the Bible to follow the passage along a little bit. If you're sat next to a young person, you might want to tell them the story of what's happening. You might want to use the pictures as inspiration for what's happening and tell the Bible story of Jesus in the wilderness in your own words. And you too can have your finger in Matthew chapter 4 to remind you of anything you might need to, or just to kind of see how you go. If you're not, just enjoy watching the video, just a few minutes long, 40 pictures. several things I like about that particular interpretation of that passage, and that's what it is. It is an interpretation of that passage, and every time we read a passage of Scripture, that's what we're doing as well. We're still interpreting it. We're looking at it through our experience, our eyes, and what we understand about it. And one of the things I really like about that is that actually it's the 34 or 35 slides until you see the tempter, until you see the devil, Satan, however you want to think of it. And actually, we read that passage, and that's what that passage focuses on. But actually, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. And what I like about that interpretation is it gives you that sense that he's been there a long time, that actually 40 days is a long time to be somewhere that's isolated and lonely, but that God, at the end, still is there and still meets us there and is looking out for us, even at the times when we might think he's not. So we're going to stand and sing a song just as our children... just before our children depart, we're going to take up our offering at this point, and we're going to stand and sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." If you're a visitor, don't feel like you need to put any money in the basket. Just let it pass by. It's an opportunity for us to say thanks to God for what he's done for us. Thanks for your faithfulness, the fact that you are there even when we may not be able to see you. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of your servants, those who go out now to serve and serve you and this church and the children of your church by leading our kids in teaching and fun and prayer and worship, Lord. May you continue to bless all those who are working for your glory. And Lord, bless the children and as they seek to learn more about you. Will you richly bless this time for them? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now if you're a young person and you'd like to head out to your groups, or you're taking the groups, now's the time to head out. I think, am I right in thinking there is no stepping stones today? That's right, no stepping stones today. So if you're 11 plus, stay here or head out with boulders. Looks like Daniel's heading out with boulders. This pair of glasses has been floating around church for quite a while. Anybody recognise them? Brown rimmed specs. They're half rimmed brown specs with a... Oh, yeah, sorry. They're not yours, are they, Bill? No. Okay. All right. Well, that might be a sector. I don't know. Find another home for, maybe. I haven't said thank you to God for the offering. So God, thank you that we are able to give back to you some of what you give us. Lord, we don't do this as an effort to repay you for what you've done in Jesus for us, but we do this as a symbol of our thanks. May it be used for your glory, Alex, and for the, yeah, your glory. For your community, not just your church community, but the wider community. Lord, that people may be freed up to serve you through the good provision of these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a pleasure today to be able to welcome Chris Viner into membership. Chris? Yeah, there you are. I don't know how I missed you in that lovely green jacket. It's delightful. It's really nice. I'm going to do that now, and then we'll take communion. Would you like to? Would you mind coming up here, Chris? Is that all right? Sorry, it's not a choice. Chris has been. Would you hold that for me? I'm going to get you to answer some questions in a minute. Okay. All right. Chris has been with us for. Can you just pop the slide up so we're ready, and Chris can read the slide, and so she knows what she's saying yes to in a minute. Chris has been with us as a church, as a member of the church, for as part of the church, coming along for what, five years, something like that. And she's been a wonderful asset to so many ministries in the church, drop in particularly notably, but I know she takes a lot of time cleaning and tidying up and doing gardening and all manner of other stuff, and we're really grateful and delighted that she's able and willing to identify herself as a member of the church. We're not trying to make a boundary here. We're not trying to say you're in or you're out. What we're trying to say is this is somebody who wants to be part of the family of Godson Baptist Church, and we want to recognise that, that's all. So it's not about, the other thing I should say is it's not about entry into God's kingdom. Chris is already a member of God's kingdom and has been for some time. And it's not about all of a sudden being accepted into his kingdom. That's happened a long time ago, and we're grateful that she's able to be here. Chris, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Are you happy to respond? And then I'm going to ask church a couple of questions, and we'd like you to respond as well. So, Chris, do you declare your faith in the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you believe God has called you to serve Christ as part of this church?
I do.
And do you commit yourself to love the Lord within this church community and in the world, and with the Holy Spirit's help, to fulfil your ministry in the body of Christ? Godson Baptist Church, do you welcome Chris into the family of God in this church?
We do.
Do you promise to love, encourage, strengthen, guide, pray for and care for Chris as an equal partner in the body of Christ?
We do.
And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of the fellowship, I welcome you, Chris, into membership. It's good to meet you. Happy here. And you're going to share communion with us as part of our family. So thank you. And now Joe's going to come up and lead us in some prayers.
Quite often, I'm run out of words, funnily enough. My husband will think that's very odd. And I don't know what to pray about things that are worrying me or frightening me. And I found that God has been reminding me more about the prayer that that Jesus gave us. And so I thought I'd pray today, kind of around what he says in that prayer. So if you'd like to join with me now. Our Father who art in heaven. Sorry, I'm just going to pray kind of around it, okay. Thank you that not only are you in heaven, where you prepare a place for us, as you have promised, but you're also here with us right now and in everything we do. Thank you that we can call you our Father, and that you are not a distant God, but a God who wants a relationship with us that encompasses everything in our lives, from the big things to the little things. Thank you that you are passionately interested in us. Hallowed be thy name, Lord God. May your name be given the worth, the glory, and the power that it's due. May it not be taken in vain, or mocked, or abused. May your name be above all others, and may the power of your name be seen throughout the earth. May your name be honoured and holy, and may it be spoken with reverence and love by all people in all lands. Thy kingdom come, Lord God. We pray that the obedience and reverence and love given to you in heaven will be shown here on earth. We pray that your kingdom of love and forgiveness, Christ-likeness and redemption will come soon, and we might each have the power of the Holy Spirit to reflect your kingdom and be your kingdom in everything we do on earth in your name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, your good and perfect will makes all things new and is alive with endless possibilities for good. Your will is not being done on earth in so many places, so many countries, amongst so many peoples and in so many homes. May that change, Lord God, and soon. When your will is done, there will be no more evil, no more fighting, no more famine, and no more suffering. Remind us to pray fervently each day that your will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to distinguish between what you know we need and what we ourselves desire. Forgive us for neglecting those who have nothing when it should be up to us to distribute your bread fairly. And forgive us our trespasses, Lord God, all the many shortfalls and disappointments and downright rebellions, all the things we are ashamed of, and all the things we ought to be more ashamed of than we are. Help us forgive those who trespass against us, so that we might put into practice your redeeming love. Help the world to see that those who follow Christ are taught forgiveness, not revenge, redemption, not condemnation, honesty, not corruption, humility, not boastfulness, servitude for your sake to win others for you. May the glories and truth of the Christian faith shine like a light in the darkness to guide the way to all those afflicted, oppressed, and downcast. Give us courage when we have none, and wisdom when we need it most. Lead us not into temptation. Help us to run from the things that would turn our gaze from you. Help us to concentrate on you, to love you, to follow you, to obey you, to preach your name and your deeds. Guide our feet on solid ground and help us not to stumble. But deliver us from evil, Lord God. Help us not be dismayed and terrified by the evil we see around us in the world. Let it have no power over us and no place in our lives. Let us refuse it and refute it wherever we find it. By your strength, defend us and deliver us, O God. For thine is the kingdom, of such beauty we can barely imagine it, of such love that we long for it, of such redemption that we are filled with hope and thankfulness. The power and the glory are yours, Lord God, and may they be so for ever and ever. Amen.
I can tell you a story that I couldn't say earlier because Max was here, and it's a story about him, and he would have been quite embarrassed, I think. So I can tell it now, and we can all embarrass him in his absence, even better. No, His first words to Poppy this morning, Max is our youngest son, if you didn't know. His first words to Poppy this morning were, you're the best mummy in the world. And then he said, no, second best. And Poppy said, so who's the first? And he said, Jesus. And actually, Jesus does compare himself to mother. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So there we go. Even more remarkable that Max obviously had some amazing insight there at that particular point, or perhaps he was just being Max. Right, okay, so let's have a look at Matthew chapter 4. One of the other things I like about that little interpretation of that video that I showed you before, is a cartoonist called Simon Smith, and he drew those illustrations as part of his own wilderness journey, if you like. He had got a bit fed up with feeling a bit stale in the way that he was drawing, in having to draw to demand, and as people were specifically asking him for certain things, he was finding restriction in what he was doing and felt a bit like a factory churning stuff out. So he decided on his birthday, I think it was in early 2000s, he decided he was going to stop and he was going to take 40 days and he was just going to draw something that he wanted to draw. And he thought he might need a theme, and there was this element of Lenten kind of discipline about it, and he opted to draw 40 pictures, one for each day of Jesus in the wilderness. And when he came back, he felt like it was coming back renewed, refreshed, invigorated, ready to do the tasks that were ahead of him, ready to serve God both in what he was doing and for in terms of sacred drawings and also in terms of secular ones as well. So there's quite a lot that I like about that series. One of the other things I really like about it is I think it really shows the humanity of Jesus. And I said, forgive me, if you were here when I showed that video at the beginning of our Lent, our prayer evening, I'm sorry, I'm going to say a few of the things I said then, I'm going to say them again today. Maybe they'll be new for somebody else, or maybe it'll be good for you to hear them again. And one of the things that I've forgotten that I was saying, what was it? The humanity of Jesus is one of the things I really like about those pictures. They show him throwing stones at rocks. They show him scaring and flapping away the birds. And they show him delighting in watching foxes come out of a cave. None of those things are written in Matthew chapter 4. They're not there. It's speculation, if you like, on the part of the illustrator as to whether or not those kind of things even happened. But I think it's good to consider and speculate and think, what is Jesus really like? What is there about Jesus that isn't in the Bible? And there is a lot. What might we be able to think about Jesus? What might we be able to learn? What might we be able to consider? Now, I believe, and I've said this before, that God speaks to us in many, many ways, not just through the Bible. And that actually I expect most of you have read Christian books by people who you admire, people who you've spent time with, whether it be Rob Bell or whether it be John Piper or whether it be C.S. Lewis. And they've written books that aren't the Bible, but you've still heard the voice of God clearly through those books. I would suggest as well, it's certainly been my experience, that I hear God through secular things. God works through things that aren't necessarily Christian. God works in us, even if we don't acknowledge him as our Saviour and our Lord. We might think about occasions where we've really heard God speaking through other people, and some of them may or may not have been Christians. It's good for us to think, what was it like? Might that have happened? And as I look at those pictures and I see God, see Jesus, playing and enjoying things in the wilderness, I feel sure that he must have enjoyed some of that time out there. He must have felt like it was a point of connection with God, and whether that be through connecting with nature and the elements around him, or whether it be through prayer, and as we saw him praying in there. All that we know about that time that he spent, those 40 days he spent, really are that actually he fasted and became hungry, and that the devil spoke to him, and that we have the dialogue there between him and the devil, and also that the angels came and took care of Jesus. And I don't think there's anything wrong in saying, I wonder what else happened there. I like the portrayal of the humanity of Jesus in that video. Jesus was not just God, and he was God, but he was fully man as well. It's one of those great tensions of the Christian faith. I believe most about the things in a Christian faith are about tension. The tension between our culture and what it's like to live as a Christian within that culture. The tension about Jesus as fully man and fully God. Things that don't seem like they can fit. Two things into one doesn't go. But that actually we acknowledge that he has to have been God in order to perform the miracles that he performed. But he has to have been human too, so that his death on the cross is a way of atoning and acknowledging that what we've done, all the things that we've done in our life, the things that we haven't got right, the things that God would wish we hadn't done, all of those things can be forgiven because Jesus has died in our place, if you like, as a human. It's easy for us, typically as evangelical Christians, as Christians in a church like this, to say Jesus was God, and that is correct. I do not for a moment want to deny or dissuade you from sharing that with other people. But it's difficult for us to say, but he was truly human as well. But he was. He had to eat. God doesn't need to eat. He cried. Actually, I think God does cry, but that's probably a different sermon for another time. But he was fully human, just as he was fully divine. And I think that illustration clearly shows some of those things there. What does that mean for us? What does it matter? Well, it matters because it shows that actually he's experienced those wide range of emotions that we have. He's experienced those situations that we have. And when we think about wilderness, we might think about the barrenness of some of those pictures. We might think about being isolated. And you might want to think a little bit about your life, about the times when you felt alone, about the times when you felt like there's nobody around looking after you, like you're there, isolated, with no one really helping, that you feel distant from other people and from God as well. Because I think when I look at those pictures, they make me think about how, yes, I think at times Jesus must have felt distant from God the Father. But the reality is that God was there. And God was watching over Jesus. I'll talk more about the very end of that story as well, but right at the beginning, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God took him there. God put him in that place of isolation and loneliness. It isn't always the case that God takes us to places like that in our life. Sometimes it is very definitely the work of people that put us in those places, other people. But sometimes I think God does lead us to those kind of experiences. And sometimes he has something to say to us through those experiences. I think here we see three responses that Jesus gives to the devil, or some translations call him the tempter, and I actually rather prefer that as a way of considering the character in this story. For that is his function. He comes to tempt Jesus. There are three things that he tempts him to. We don't know if they happened immediately after one another as they happen here, as they appear here. We don't know if they happened right at the end of his 40 days. But it happens three times, and certainly at some point in those 40 days and 40 nights. In the first one, verse 3, the tempter says, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." When we're tempted, God often seems to put opportunities for us to resist that temptation. But we, as humans, quite often, I think, tend to justify the thing that we're being tempted by and kind of say why it might be okay to give into that temptation. And here, what's interesting is what the tempter tempts Jesus with is something that it would be quite legitimate for Jesus to feel like he needs. Not just that he wants, but something he needs. It says he's hungry. He had fasted and had become hungry. And the devil offers him bread. Simple. It's not luxurious. It's not anything extravagant. It's something very simple. Something that is easy to go and say, yeah, well, that's fine. I can have this. I'm entitled to this. I need this. I'm hungry. And I wonder how often we do that with our own temptations. How often do we say, ah, actually, I can justify doing this thing or the other because actually it's part fulfilling a need in me. But Jesus says, no, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Is Jesus saying that we don't need to eat? No. But he's saying that in order for real, true life, for life lived to the full, we must rely not just on the food that we are offered, but on the word of God. Then the devil takes him to the holy city, to Jerusalem. You might think of him taking there in his head, in his mind. You might think of him whisking him off there in a literal sense, kind of in a para-spiritual sense. Or it might happen as part of a dream. And he says, if you're the Son of God, jump off. And what's interesting, I think, here is the tempter uses the words of Scripture against Jesus. Jesus has been using words of Scripture to say no. And Jesus says, and the tempter says, here's why you should say yes. The Scriptures say, says the tempter, he will order his angels to protect you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Do we ever, here's an interesting question, do we ever justify giving in to temptation with, because we think it's fulfilling something spiritual, because it's fulfilling a spiritual need, because we think that the Bible says it's okay to do it? And the other question I want to ask here is, do we ever try and use Scripture to suggest something that's not actually of God? And I'd say that actually quite often we can do that. People can do that. I'm not saying there's any particular examples that I'm going to share with you here, but I think sometimes we quite often like to cherry pick our verses from the Bible and we like to use them as a justification for behaviour or in certain ways. So first of all, do we justify our temptations by saying, well, this is something that I need? Do we justify them by saying, it's okay, I think God would be okay with this? And the Scriptures say, Jesus responds to that one, don't test the Lord your God. And thirdly, the devil takes Jesus to the peak of a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I'll give it to you all if you kneel down and worship me. I think often that's the temptation that people are faced with. You can have it all. You can have more money. You can have more time. You can have a bigger house, a better car. Those things aren't necessarily wrong or evil in themselves. But the question is, am I worshipping them rather than God? Is that what I'm living for? Is that relentless pursuit of more money what I'm living for? And I know that there's been points in my life where I've kind of gone, oh, if only I had more money, Or, yes, Poppy or I need to take that offer of a better job because the money will be better. And you know what? I think the one time where I certainly wonder whether or not we justified taking what we thought was going to be a better paid post was by saying it was part of God's plan for us. And actually, the only part of his plan that I feel like it had was teaching us a lesson that we needed to stop striving for more money and better things and bigger this and bigger that and reaching the top of a career chain. Poppy asked me a question a couple of weeks ago. She said, is it hard when you're preparing a sermon to work out what God's saying to you, the preacher, as an individual about your relationship with God and what he wants you to share with the church? And we talked about it a bit and I hummed and hawed and yes, actually, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, sometimes maybe he's just got something to say to me. But I hope that something that we share, whoever's up here, Phil, myself, Lou, Rod, any of the other people who come up regularly and share stuff or irregularly, I hope that you hear God through what they're saying. Finally, the devil goes away, it says in verse 11, and angels came and took care of Jesus. Even in the wilderness, God was there all the time. I don't believe he left Jesus for a moment. There's an idea that God sometimes withdraws from the world to let people take their own actions. In fact, that ultimately at creation, God, as being everything, had to withdraw into himself to make space for the creation of the universe. But he never goes away completely. Sometimes he's there and we don't see him. Sometimes he's there and we turn away from him. We're not looking in the right place for him. We're too busy looking at ourselves, too busy looking at the things that are tempting us. But even in difficult and lonely times, God is there. God's been there in the wilderness. God's been there himself as Jesus in the lonely times. And God's experienced that loneliness, that sadness, that sense of isolation. And in the wilderness, in the desert, we might find we have a closer encounter with God than we might ever have expected. I know that for me, often it's the times when I'm quiet, somewhere alone. Those are the times when I experience God most. I also experience them on a day-to-day basis, most often in the company of other people. But I know that profound experiences, for me personally, and I'm talking personally here, I'm very aware that it's different for people, and some people hate silence. Some people find it oppressing and overwhelming. But for me, I know that quiet and being out on my own can really help. Maybe you might find that helpful as well. If you've never really spent much time in silence or done any things about being on your own and being quiet and reflecting on God, then that retreat day that Phil has planned for a Saturday in April. Anybody take notice of the date? 25th of April? Thank you very much. Saturday the 25th of April. Have a word. There'll be opportunities like that on that day, I'm sure. Might be. The last one I went on was brilliant. Really, really. Last one we went on as a church was fantastic and really spoke to me about stuff in my life. So I'd really encourage you all to come. So let's just pray and then we'll come to communion and we'll share communion with us. And just as we might meet God in the desert, since so we have an opportunity to meet God here at the communion table. That's part of what we're doing here. We're saying, we remember you, Jesus. We want to come and meet with you. We want that opportunity to meet with you around your table, just as you met with disciples at the Last Supper. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for how you love us. We thank you for your care. We thank you that you love us continually. We thank you that you are like a mother in the way you share your love. Lord, we thank you. Help us to see you when we don't feel you're there. Help us to know that you have been in the wilderness too, and seek and take comfort from that. Help us, dear Lord, as we come to meet with you now around your table, help us to receive your blessings, confidence, and take heart in the fact that you are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I have, if I can have four people just to come and help me serve communion, that would be great. I haven't asked anybody outside of this, so you don't need to be a church member, you don't need to be a deacon, you don't need to have been baptised, you just need to want to come and serve God and meet with him around the table. That's all I'm asking. Thank you, Adrienne. One more. That's lovely. Thanks, Jim. I'm going to do communion just a tiny bit differently today, not very different. I'm not going to stop between the distribution of the bread and the distribution of the wine. So I'm going to give the words of institution beforehand, and then I'll hand the bread to the servers who'll come and serve the bread to you. As you receive the bread, do take a piece and remember Jesus' death for you personally as an individual. And then once the servers have come back and I've served you and you've served me, then I will hand you the wine to distribute, and there's going to be some music playing throughout all this, and we'll distribute the wine there, but hold on to your cup and we'll drink together at the end. Okay, so I'm not going to stop between those two things. The music's just going to keep playing and I'll keep on serving the services as they continue. Okay, a few questions here about communion and why we do it that might help you if you've not done this before or not done it for a while, or maybe you just always have these questions about communion. So why do we remember Jesus? Those are the words that Jesus says. Why do we remember him? Because he was sent from God and he gave up his life for us on the cross. God raised him from the dead so that we might see that death is not the end, but the beginning of a new life, the life that Jesus showed us how to live. Why do we use the bread? Well, because Jesus took bread at the Last Supper and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in memory of me." We take the bread because it's a sign of Jesus feeding us as we share with others around his table. Why do we use the wine? Well, because the wine is a sign of Jesus' saving love. He said, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." Jesus' saving love was poured out for us when he died on the cross. We're not saying that these have become wine or these have become bread. We're not saying that these have become body or blood in any type of literal sense. But we are saying that these are powerful symbols, opportunities for us to meet with God around his table, and that the Holy Spirit is here as part of the gathered body of believers and it's present with us. And this is an opportunity for us once again to meet with God around his table and experience him afresh, or maybe for the first time.
We bow down and confess that you are Lord in this place.
We bow down
So we drink together as a sign of Jesus' death for all of us together. Jesus, we remember your death. We acknowledge your resurrection. And we await your return in glory in your name. Amen. Would somebody be able to do me a favour and go upstairs and let Boulders know that the service is just about? Thank you, AJ. And can you let Pebbles know as well downstairs? Because I'm sure they will want to come in and distribute our gifts at the end of the service. I heard something on Radio 4. If you listen to Radio 4, if you listen to their service, and just as I was praying earlier, as we were preparing communion, it occurred to me that actually one of the things that the guy on the radio said actually was quite appropriate for what we're thinking about in terms of God being there, perhaps when we don't realise it. And he compared, similarly to how in some ways, picking up on some of the themes of today as I have, he compared God's love for us as being like that of a mother to a newborn child. And he said that the child won't have an awareness of being loved. I think I'd probably nuance that and say the child doesn't understand what it is to be loved it might acknowledge, I think it will experience and understand love without actually knowing that that's what it is. But that actually how the child feels about that emotion makes no difference to the mother's emotional love for that child. And in the same way, God loves us, and we might not actually realise it. We might not acknowledge it. We might say, I don't feel like he loves me. I don't feel like he's loving me at the moment. But actually, how we feel about it doesn't change how God feels about us, and he continues to love us in spite of it all. So we're going to prepare to sing. I'm a bit reluctant to start before our children are here, because otherwise we won't be able to distribute all of the gifts in time. Adrienne. That's going well. Excellent. I think I've possibly finished a little ahead of their time. Can you find that DVD clip, Steve, for the Big Church Day Out? Or is that asking a massive amount right at the end of the service? Just while it's while Steve's having a look and seeing if you can get it going, I'll read out some of the guests on the list there. For me, the two that are most exciting for me are Switchfoot, who are a rock band who are also Christians. Here Come Boulders, that's good. And Lecrae. Lecrae is a top 40 American Christian rapper, and he is a really good rapper. If you like hip hop, he is outstanding. So he's there, so some contemporary stuff there, but there's also lots of worship. So Israel Houghton's going to be there, Matt Mayer, Gungor are going to be there. I really like Gungor. They're kind of like very professional musicians, interested in doing stuff in a different way. Jesus Culture, Bethel Music there for worship as well. So loads of good bands and good, exciting stuff there. Right, so now that I have a few children, I think now's a good time in which to sing. I'm going to just grab this. Poppy, can you clear up my mess, please?
Yes.
Thank you. So we're going to distribute flowers today to anybody here who has a mum. And we're going to start by distributing them to the ladies of the church. And then I think after that, if we have leftovers, we'll distribute them to the men of the church. Maybe they're going to see a mum today, or maybe there's somebody in their life who acts as a bit of a mother figure, or maybe there's somebody who they know would really appreciate the flowers, so we'll offer those as well. Ladies as well, we're also going to be distributing these Christian ladies magazines, which actually I've had a flick through and I nearly started reading quite a lot of it myself. So I actually think there's actually some really good stuff and interesting stuff in here actually. So do take one of these as well, and we're going to distribute those as well. So can I have Boulders, who are here, can you come down and help distribute these things? And then while they're doing that, we're going to stand and sing Servant King. So let's stand and prepare to sing in closing worship. Thank you. May you know God's love and peace and blessing today as you go out into the world and to serve him. May you continue to share his blessings with others as you are blessed, and that blessing overflows to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do join us for tea and coffee in the back hall. There are more flowers if you would like more flowers. There are plenty of magazines, I think there's still some at the back if you'd like to take one of these. Or again, if you know somebody who you think might like one, do just pick one up and take them away. Too many, that's fine. Thank you very much. Yes, please.
May I take one more for my
mum? You help yourself. You as many as you need.
Only half a lid, one for mum.
Be lovely, thank you.
You spoke very briefly.
Huh?
You spoke briefly.
I was trying to.
I've got a whole table of unfinished paintings.
I'm sorry. I didn't tell you how long my feature's going to be.
Ooh. I did ask you.